And now, JimForAmerica.com, the radio show. Paid for by Jim Condit Jr. for Congress.
Hello, everyone. Jim Condit Jr. for Congress here. I paid for and approved all the messages on this hour. So let's start out to set the stage for the show by playing the one-minute radio ad that we ran on WLW and WKRC on Thursday of this week. That's what you'll hear this Sunday night at 8 p.m. on 55KRC. Special guest, 24-year-old Nicholas J. Fuentes, the most important political person in the USA with 30,000 supporters and growing. And the most censored man in the world, Fuentes, at Cozy.tv, welcomes America First men of all races, but he is censored because he is also inviting young white Christian men to organize by the millions to save the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. This terrifying the billionaire communist-promoting Jews who are ruining our country with their treasonous control of our media and our money. Also, an interview with the great author Christopher John Bjerknes on how the top Nazis and top Zionist Jews worked hand in glove towards stealing Palestine for Israel in 1948. I'm Jim Condit Jr. for Congress, and I approved and paid for this message. See you at 8 p.m. this Sunday on 55KRC. All information and shows at JimForAmerica.com, JimForAmerica.com. We recorded a one-hour interview with Nick Fuentes. It took me 2 hours to edit it down to the 24 minutes that you're about to hear, but both this show and the entire hour interview with Fuentes will be on JimForAmerica.com. Okay, well, I am honored and really excited to have as our guest Nicholas J. Fuentes, who I believe is the most important political figure and current events figure in America. And he's also the most persecuted man in America at the age of 24. And he's got a group that has 30,000 followers and growing. And I've been on his podcast from Monday through Friday at Cozy.tv. That's Cozy.tv, where he's got 6,000 to 7,000 people watching his podcast every night often. I mean, it's usually 6,000 to 7,000 people. Anybody who's ever tried to attract people knows that's incredible. So he started, he's 23 years old. He started 5 years ago doing podcasts, after he did a stint with the Trump campaign, I'm just learning. And, Nicholas J. Fuentes, Nick, would you tell us what's happened to you since you were 18 in the last 5 years? And maybe tell us why you think you've become the most persecuted man in the world. They won't take you on any major media, except here we're forcing it on due to the reasonable access law. They won't let you on any social media. They've made it impossible for you to take credit cards from anywhere in the world. The FBI stole $500,000 from your group's bank account. What has happened to you in the last 5 years, and how did you become not only, in my opinion, the most important political figure in the United States, but the most persecuted man in the world who's trying to get a message out?
Well, thank you very much for the kind introduction. I appreciate the kind words, and it's, but yes, as you said, I got my start about 5 years ago, in college. I was a volunteer on the Trump campaign up in New Hampshire, and I brought a lot of the college Republicans up there. You know, I was 18, a freshman at Boston University in 2016, originally from Chicago, but went to school in Boston.
Okay.
And I organized a group called Boston Students for Trump. And every weekend in October, we went up to New Hampshire and we did door knocking. We did phone banking. I think I brought something like 100 people up there. And I got linked up with Right Side Broadcasting Network, which they were very well known in 2016 because they were the only ones broadcasting all the Trump events. And so I got connected with them, and they brought on a whole slate of original shows after the election. You know, there weren't any rallies after the election, not until the midterms. So they said, okay, well, how can we keep it fresh? What can we do? And so they brought on a bunch of people to make shows. And so I started a show. And then I watched the Trump inaugural, which was January 20th, 2017.
Right.
And if you remember, he said, a new vision will govern our land. It's going to be only America first. And I heard that and I was like, that's it. I mean, that describes me. That's what I'm about. I'm not really, I mean, I am conservative, but you know, a lot of conservatives aren't really who they say they are. I said, I'm America first. That describes what I am. Right. So that's what I called the show. And, that's what started out. The shows weren't very big because most of their audience came there for the rallies. And so none of the shows on RSBN did particularly well. I got like 100 live viewers every night and a lot of technical difficulties. You know, I was in a college dorm, so it wasn't a great like environment to do the show actually. But so I did that for a time. And then I wound up actually at the Charlottesville rally in August 2017. And I know that's very controversial. It's very polarizing. But, you know, like Donald Trump said, there were a lot of people that were there to defend the Robert E. Lee monument. You know, people.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a that was like the January 6th. Excuse me. Them claiming there's a January 6th insurrection. That was a media created thing. When Trump said there's good people on both sides, I thought, are there any good people on the other side? They're all pro until the ninth month. But no, that was a complete, they mainly wanted to keep the speeches that would have been given there off of going viral on the internet.
Right. And the point of the rally was the city of Charlottesville in Virginia, they were going to rename the historic Robert E. Lee Park.
Right. Yeah.
And take down the statue.
Yeah.
Which is something that I'm against. I'm against the erasure of the history and the destruction of monuments. And, you know, now it's just out of control. They're going after Jefferson and Lincoln, and Trump said that would happen. And I said the same thing at the time. You start with the so-called, you know, the real bad guys. And where does it end? Now they're taking down Washington and Jefferson and Lincoln. Anyway, so I went there.
And when you see your history being torn down, you know, a lot of communists have gotten control of your country.
That's right. That's what they do. That's what they did in Russia 100 years ago. That's what they do in every country.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So I went there for those reasons. I'll admit, I mean, there were some people there that were not really my cup of tea and everything,
right.
But,
I know.
But it was, yeah. So after that event, I became radioactive, you know, as a result of the media fallout, everybody who was at that rally or was identified at that rally got fired, doxxed, harassed, ostracized, and that was like a big moment in my career because
were imprisoned.
Yes, that's right, unjustifiably. I know at least one person committed suicide because of the harassment.
Wow.
And you know, nobody ever talks about that. They talk about people, whatever you think, exercising their First Amendment, which is perfectly legal and actually what our country's about.
Right.
But they don't talk about Antifa, who comes there with baseball bats and bags of urine and stuff like that. You know, they just talk about the bad guys, but the so-called bad conservatives.
Yeah.
But that was a big turning point in my career, because up until that point, I had been a relatively mainstream guy. And everybody who was at Charlottesville had this guilt by association, like you said, this media created circus. And so it became very difficult for me. But I was kicked out of RSBN. I think a week later, I started my show just on my own YouTube channel. I said, okay, well, you know, I kept the same setup, same green screen, same everything. And I just did it on my own. And so I did my show for a long time, and I started to articulate a different kind of conservatism, where what you really get from a lot of these conservatives, even though Trump won the election, even though he took over the GOP, you really still get the same messaging of Mitt Romney and John McCain. You get the same neocon, you get the same libertarian stuff. And I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a neocon. I'm an America first nationalist. And so my show is about immigration. And it was about crime, and it was about the Middle East. It was about all these issues, really, that Trump ran on. And I see the big things that Trump ran on as building the wall and shutting down immigration, protectionism and stopping free trade, allowing America to reindustrialize, and non-intervention to stop the foreign wars, stop the capture of the State Department and the Pentagon by NATO and by foreign interest lobbies. It was about America first versus globalism, and that was my show. And so I went on doing my show for a couple of years, and I steadily gained an audience. You know, a lot of people noticed what I was doing, and I think that there was a real appetite for that. Because when you look at the offerings, like I said, from the conservative pundits, there's not a whole lot of that. There's a lot of the usual suspects. There's a lot of the people that have been around for decades and decades saying the kind of...
And Nick, it's like they're in a little playpen. They're not allowed to go outside of their playpen. And they cover a lot of stuff like, oh, Democrats first, Republicans. But they do not cover a lot of stuff that Americans need to hear. And I'm talking about Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. They were like in a playpen they were not allowed to go out of. And you go outside that playpen.
That's right. Well, because we've got to be honest about what's going on. And what's going on is that it's not just the Democrats and the liberals. It's both sides. It's the so-called conservative establishment and the liberal establishment working together to really deliver the same policies for 30 years, whether you get Bush or Obama or whoever you get, it's the same basket of policies. And right. Fox News, you know, just brought on Caitlyn Jenner, so-called Caitlyn Jenner. Like, yeah. I mean, that tells you what's up. So right. Like you said, so I was sort of stepping outside the lines and saying a lot of the things that are not really politically correct, that you're not supposed to say. And I made a lot of enemies because of that. A lot of people didn't like me. And really, my big claim to fame, I guess my breakout moment came in 2019, autumn 2019. Charlie Kirk, who's the founder, head of Turning Point USA, which is, I think, the biggest student conservative organization in the country. He went on a campus tour. He went on a speaking tour on the college campuses. And he would go and do his speeches, and he would go around saying things. One of the most famous lines, he went to one school and said that he thought that we should staple a green card to the diploma of every foreign student studying in America, which, if you don't know what that means like legalize and bring in as immigrants all the tens of millions or millions of students from China or India or wherever studying here, which is like, I mean, that's mass immigration. And I remember seeing that and being shocked and saying, this is supposed to be the Trump group. This is supposed to be, I thought Charlie Kirk was a pro-Trump guy. I thought this was a pro-Trump group. And he's going around saying like, yeah, let's bring in basically limitless, and he said other kinds of immigration too, worker visas and the students that are here from other countries, let's give them green cards. And I remember thinking like, this is insane. And so I talked about that on my show, just reminding people like this isn't exactly conservative. And so my followers started to go to his speaking events, and they would do a speech and they do a Q&A panel. And my followers would go to these events and they get in line and they'd say, hey, and it's funny because, of course, when people like Kirk and Shapiro and the others, when they do their speaking tours, they expect questions from the left. They expect some like 19-year-old with like blue hair, some like psycho feminist to go up and say like, tell me why you think there's two genders. And then it's like, oh, you know, totally blown out. Wow, you got debated into the ground on why like there's such a thing as men and women. They don't expect people coming to their thing with a MAGA hat on and a rosary in their hand saying, hey, why do you support open borders, essentially? Why do you support mass immigration? And so it was a hit right out of the gate. This went viral. It was everywhere. You know, and these questions, it got to the point where every event that he did, the entire Q&A line would be people that watch my show. And I would be crafting the questions on my show. I tell people, okay, we're going to strategize. Ask him this, this, and this. Ask him when he said this. And the main points that we sort of coalesced around were specifically his support for mass immigration, his support for social liberalism. You know, he would have people on the stage like Rob Smith, who's an open homosexual. And he would go up there and say, he's black and he's a veteran. He would say, I'm America's favorite gay black veteran. And we'd say, okay, well, you know, I mean, listen, we're not like hateful people or anything, but we're Christian. And our religion is against the LGBT.
Yeah.
We don't think that's moral. And so, you know, it's not to say that, you know, should we say that we don't want gay people voting Republican or something? I mean, whatever. But it's like, why would you put that on the stage and celebrate that? We don't celebrate that. It's wrong. Right. And so that was part of it. And then we would also talk about his support for the wars, his endless support for American intervention in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And so those were the three main points, was his social liberalism, his support for mass immigration, and his America Last foreign policy. And well, over time,
it's one of the things that with the mainstream so-called conservatives that I'm sure got you in trouble. You guys don't hit it real hard when I've listened, but you say, or when I went to your America First convention down in Orlando, and, but you say it's not cool to shill for Israel. And this idea that this one country, while they're committing what I consider to be a slow genocide against the Palestinians, I know people in Palestine, to never even analyze their policy is really not American. We don't have free speech except on commenting on one or two countries, what they're doing.
That's right. Well, and you know, they always bring up the usual stuff. If you criticize this country or something, you're a hater. You know, you must be a hater, or they'll say you're a leftist or something. And you're exactly right. It's George Washington's farewell address. No foreign entanglements.
Right.
And it seems like that's the, we're the only ones applying that consistently. And I apply that to NATO. I don't want us to be involved in NATO's war in Ukraine or whatever. It also applies to the Iraq war, the Israel's intervention in Syria. Bashar al-Assad's not my enemy. You know, liberal media is, you know, Facebook is the one that's banning everybody. Like that's the communists, like you said, in our country, not Bashar Assad. So you're right. That was a big part of it. And, you know, long story short, I mean, it went for a couple months and he wound up reversing a lot of those positions. He wrote an op-ed renouncing his support for the green cards for the, foreign students. And he's changed his rhetoric since then. He really did, but I was severely punished. I was blacklisted. I was totally kicked out of the conservative, you know, whatever the milieu there. They all hate me. Shortly after that, I was banned on YouTube. And that's really where this cascading series of events started. I was banned on YouTube. I was banned from PayPal, all the payment processors, Reddit, TikTok, Discord.
Can I make a statement and you react to it, okay?
Sure.
That was one reason, the fact that you were just saying, let's have some fair discussion and fair play in the Middle East and not be becoming part of all these wars. But I think the reason that you're about to explain what happened to you is that it's okay to, and I was down at your meeting and there was mostly young white men. There was 10 or 20 very well-dressed black men. There was young guys. There was 50 or so women, maybe a little more than that. And there was about 50 old guys like me. Pete Pop Heracles, the American Free Press, drove down from Maryland. He said, I got to see with my own eyes that there's 1,200 young people at a meeting. He said he'd been going to meetings for the last 10 years. They're all old people. So at any rate, but you're allowed to organize for black people. You're allowed to, and I'm not against black people or Hispanics or Orientals, but where I think you most got in trouble with the powers that be that run our media and our banking system and the money is you also invited white young Christian men to organize. And when I went to your America First conference in Florida on February 25th, I think, of this year, 2022, you said our secret ingredient in your speech, our secret ingredient is young white Christian men. You said, you know what white people are good at? White men are good at building things. Okay. So for years, I avoided talking about white this or white people because I said, well, I don't want to get any bad feeling with the, between blacks and whites. But now the media is beating down on white people so severely in the last 2 years that somebody has to answer, and you came. And I think that's why you most got in trouble is encouraging young white men to organize and save the country. Maybe you can react to that opinion of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of what I've said so far is things that, it's pretty non-controversial. And it's a lot of things that even Trump supporters are saying on Fox or are saying in mainstream media and so on. But really the thing that makes me different and the thing that is why my name cannot be uttered at Fox News, cannot be uttered in mainstream conservative media is because you're right, because I will talk about the white people. That's the one group of people that nobody wants to talk about. And that is the Republican base. That's the conservative base. It also happens to be the people that made this country. It's the people that founded this country, settled this country, built this country. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. I don't think it's controversial. It's just factually true. And all the time you get conservatives that want to run away from that. And ultimately, it's largely white conservatives and a white Republican constituency that elect leaders and support leaders running away from their own people, running away from their own, again, their own voters, their own constituents, their own backers. And it just isn't right. And you're right. When you look at what's happening in the country, you cannot interpret it without this racial lens. We know that the Democrat coalition is anti-white. People call it everything else. It's critical race theory. It's Marxist. It's this and that. All of those things it may be. But also, we must say explicitly, it's against white people. You know, look at Cory Booker's.
The only thing that Kamala Harris, our Duncy low IQ vice president who was put in again by all kinds of computer fraud and mail-in fraud. That's all she does is everything she says is trying to mobilize non-whites against whites.
Yeah, and it's not just her. It's her. It's Lori Lightfoot. It's Cory Booker. It's this new generation of militant young, the so-called POC who've been radicalized in colleges. They've been pushed into this by the media. And you get this generation of these new leaders proclaiming a new America where white people are going to be second-class citizens. And again, that's something that's like, again, for some reason, very controversial, but you'll never hear that kind of thing on any of the major mainstream things. They don't want to talk about race. Our enemies talk about race. It's important to them, and they're the ones running the show. We need to talk about those things. And
you're right. Slanders, we did a show last week with Pete Papaheracles, who came to your convention, and he's written a book called America's Racial Powder Cake. But we did Defending White Civilization with brought 95% of the invention. Again, I hope the blacks and the Orientals increase their number of inventions. But in historical fact, 95% of the and plus of the great inventions physically were done by white people of European descent. You have rule of law, which has been in white societies and really struggling at almost everywhere else except maybe Japan. You have Christianity was brought to in the Catholic Church. I'm Catholic myself. Was brought to the humanity by the white people of Europe after the apostles brought it to them. So these things, but if you listen to mainstream media, the reason I started to speak up about it is the young people who are white must think we should be hanging our heads in shame all day long. And you don't do that. You teach people how to not hang their head, the white people how to not hold their head in shame all day.
Right. We want white people to have the same love for themselves that every other race is encouraged to. We hear all day long, black is beautiful, future is female, all this kind of stuff. But the white man is told, you know, you should be ashamed of who you are. You're a terrorist. You're a racist. You're a rapist. That is all the programming from the media. And it's so wrong. And ultimately, I mean, I came to consider this to be very important because I think about having kids one day. And when I have kids, they're going to be white. And my white kids are going to be growing up in a society that hates them, in a society where they're told to be ashamed of themselves and hate themselves. And it's wrong for that to happen to anybody. But, and I've said this on my show, it's especially wrong because it was our ancestors that actually founded this place. So that's not to say, it's not to say we're white supremacists or something like that, but it is to say that it's especially wrong that this is our home. This is a home that our ancestors made for us. And not only are you going to have that kind of racial hatred, but racial hatred against the people that created, like you said, the inventions, the wealth, the prosperity, the kind of culture here. It just isn't right. And nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to defend white people as white people. They want to call it anything else and divert that into some other conversation. Let's talk about it. I mean, our enemies are perfectly willing to articulate in racial terms their hatred for us, and we can't defend ourselves on that basis. We can't say white people should have the same dignity and the same rights and the same respect that anybody else has. We've got to couch it in all these other terms and pander to other groups.
And, you know, more and also the inventions and the building of good societies by white people have actually created the opportunity now for all people, all ethnic groups, all races, all countries to rise together in what really is an age of plenty with technology and everything where we can all do well in the future. But the basis of that historically has mostly been provided to mankind by white people of European descent.
That's right. It should be a you're welcome. You know, it's like they should be saying thank you, you know, rather than giving us the finger and attacking the elderly. They should be saying thank you, you know. And
the next I've said before, the next words out of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton's mouth to white people should be thank you.
That's right. Yeah. Gratitude. How about a little graciousness? And then we can all get along. But instead, we get the hatred.
Down at your convention in Orlando, Florida, February 25th, I think, of this year, 2022, is your third one. You had 1,200 people. I never thought in my lifetime I would see 1,200 young men rise to their feet four times down there during your five-hour convention or conference and chant, Christ is King, Christ is King, Christ is King. Everyone should go to the proper website, which you'll give us, to watch all the speeches of America First Conference 3 from this year. And you had Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman, come there and speak, and they're still griping about that on CNN and MSNBC. You had another congressman named Gosar from Arizona give you a long-distance message. So it was an incredible convention, and as I say, I never expected to see young men stand up, 1,200 of them in unison, and vigorously chant, Christ is King.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm the most proud of, is how the Christian message really was present throughout the entire event. Yes. And it's incredible, because how they described the conference in the media is they've said that was a Nazi event, that was a pro-Putin event, that was a white nationalist event. But the only and maybe the most prominent theme that was there in every speech, in every part of the event, was the Christianity.
Yes.
Element. Well, I want leaders that believe Christ is King. I mean, again, people may say that's a bigoted position or something. I think that this is a Christian nation. And I think that if we want to have Christian virtues and Christian society and Christian laws, we should have Christian rulers, or at least people that are sympathetic to Christ, that are not anti. And I think that's what you'll find with a lot of these liberal groups, and particularly a lot of liberal Jewish groups. Even somebody like Ben Shapiro, his position on Jesus is that he was a rebel who got killed for his trouble, which is just blasphemous. And it's like, if that guy's influencing so many Christians in the country, I don't actually think that's a great thing.
Now, Nick, I want you to say anything else you want to say, but I want to tell people now. So we got Nicholas J. Fuentes. You can catch him every night, weekday nights, as a role, on cozy.tv, not cozy.com, cozy.tv, which is really easy to remember, cozy.tv. You're also on Gab, which is a free speech, what are they, competitor of Twitter?
Yes.
You're listening to JimForAmerica.com, the radio show in progress.
We recorded a one-hour interview with Nick Fuentes. It took me 2 hours to edit it down to the 24 minutes, but both this show and the entire hour interview with Fuentes will be on JimForAmerica.com.